Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, there's a lot of people out there looking to find out who they are. They're searching and searching and searching and searching. Remember this. It's not about finding who you are. It's about realizing what God called you to be.
Amen.
It's about discovering who you are in Christ. It's discovering who Christ is in us. You know, you can spend your whole life searching for who you are, and when they put you in the ground, you'll still be searching. But when you come to a place of just looking at Christ and saying, God, you made me for a purpose. I have a reason to live. I'm here by your design. I'm here to because you created me. And go from there. I want to talk to you about a very, very, very basic, simple message, but as I was watching the kids on Thanksgiving Day and Friday afternoon, my phone began to ring. And somebody didn't want to live. And so for a long period of time, I was talking to somebody, calling them back, making sure they got through the day, make sure they got through the next day. And I was thinking as I was talking and as I came here last night for a while, and I even wrote it down, because how many have ever left talking to somebody, trying to help somebody, trying to counsel somebody, and you leave and you've taken on their burden? You leave and you feel like they leave, like they feel. And that's not how it's supposed to be. They're supposed to leave feeling like you feel. You know what I mean? Are we okay? It's coming to a place where they leave having contacted us and talked to us, and they feel they've had a God encounter.
Yes, amen.
The problem is sometimes we leave and we feel like we have a devil encounter. Because the devil comes to do what?
Steal,
kill, and destroy. And so as I was sitting here last night, I just began to write, when helping, listening, or encouraging people, we can't take on their offenses, their issues, their mindset, or their identity. We must stay focused on who Christ is in us and who we are in Him. We must realize we have His divine abilities in us where we can help those people come to a place where God is and God can dwell in them. If we lose that focus, then all we're offering is sympathy. God offers them a new life. Amen? There's a new life. And so as you're going to come in contact with all kinds of people, but raise them up to where you are in Christ. The Bible says we've been raised up in Christ. And so, okay, don't frown now, smile. I'm getting scared. Just give them hope. And the hope that we offer them is Jesus. So this morning, you're going to preach back at me. Say, I will respond to what pastors is preaching. And I will talk back to him as he tells me to. Okay, how many raise a hand and say, I'm going to do that? How many lied? I know it was long, and maybe some people have a hard time remembering that. I do. What did you say? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. To the who?
Saints.
Can't hear you.
Saints.
Say this. I am classified a saint by God. Now you think you just lied, don't you? You're not classified as sinners. You're classified as saints. Paul wrote all his letters to the saints. Keep in mind, that would be for a certain church. To the saints in Ephesians, in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound or lavished toward us in all wisdom and prudence or understanding. Okay, let's get started. How many of you, looking at your life, looking at where you are, looking at what you're going through, looking back in the past or forward to the future, what you're thinking, how many of you really consider yourself blessed? Two, three. Okay. I should have you stand up and dance and run around the building. Curtis can lead that. You know, there's two different types of blessing here. It's very interesting. When you start breaking it down, and I did, you start breaking this down, you realize, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one blessing. That's different. That's saying that God is worthy of our praise. In fact, is your NIV, I think, says praise to God. So God is worthy of our praise. He's to be held in honor and respect. And that is so true. We talked about great is his faithfulness. You know, you can look at the things that you call a crisis that happened in your life, and you can start looking around and you can see where God intervened. Every one of us. Every one of us, when we went through the hard times, even though we didn't see him, and even though at that time we may not have recognized it, God was there. God was there. You know, it's kind of interesting because I catch myself doing this and I'm going to stop. How many realize he's the God of the universe? Amen. How many realize the Holy Spirit is omnipresent? Yes. Then why in the world do I pray God be with so-and-so? He's there. You know, I've often prayed, God be with them, and they're believers. God's in them. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Is that too shallow or too deep? But it's true. I catch myself. I pray for my daughter. God be with Tracy. Well, he's there. And so what he wants us to do, I believe as we pray, there are places God says, tell me now. Command me now. Do something. Am I going to command God? No, but I'm going to ask him to do things. Amen? Can we do that?
Amen.
If you're sick, can you ask God to heal you? If you need finances, can you ask God for money?
Yes.
And so, when you were sinners, you asked God for what?
Salvation.
Salvation. What did he do? He saved us. And so, with just the little things that we see that he's done in our lives, and if we look at it in a vast perspective, we see God doing amazing things. Isn't he worthy of praise? Worthy of worship, worthy of thanksgiving, worthy of adoration. Amen. Okay. But there's another blessing here. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, or what this is actually saying, He has blessed us beyond and abundantly in Christ Jesus. And if you want to take a deep step, how many of you have a little faith today? How many gave up all your faith when you were singing? Okay. I was going to have to change the music if you did that. The blessing that God is talking about here is that we are blessed according to Father Abraham. You look this up in the Greek, and that's part of it. The Bible says in Galatians that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Do you ever stop and think what God told Abraham? You can read Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17. I'm going to bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. I will make your name and your heritage and your families like the stars of the heavens. I will be with you. I won't leave you. Wherever you go, I'm going. Does it sound like we're not blessed? How many of you pray this prayer? God bless me. Okay. I don't see no hands, but I'm not picking on you. But I got a question. When you're praying God to bless someone or bless yourself or bless this one, what are you praying? What are you asking for?
Asking God for our help that we ask from Him.
Can be. When we're praying blessings on people, okay, if we're praying blessings on the unsaved, what are we saying? God, reveal yourself to them. God, that they would get to know you. God, that they'd be born again. So now, if God says, I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing, is there a better way to pray?
Thank you.
Yeah. How about saying, God, thank you for blessing me. I received all your blessings you have for me today.
Yes, amen.
Okay. Here we go. Say this with me. Say, I am blessed. And Heavenly Father,
I thank you for blessing me.
I receive
all the blessings
you have given me with thanksgiving. Wow. They're dynamite in that. We're not just shooting in the dark somewhere to some God we don't understand or some God we don't know. We're taking His word and saying, God, you've told me that you bless me with every spiritual blessing and heavenly blessing. I receive it and I thank you. You know, when we earnestly pray for things, we need to earnestly come back with thanksgiving.
Amen.
When you reach a place where you're praying earnestly according to Philippians 4, when you're praying that earnest prayer, bring it with earnest thanksgiving. Thank Him for what He's doing. Thank Him for what He wants to do. Thank Him for what you can't believe He can do. So what can't you believe He can do? He can't fail you. So if you get nothing else this morning, walk out of here knowing that you're blessed and knowing that His blessings doesn't stop. That the blessings of Abraham, the promises to Abraham, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of life-changing experiences and encounters and things that blow your mind. You know, it's been a long time since God blown our minds, but He needs to. We need to come to a place where God is so radical in our lives and we're so radical for him, when a thought comes that is negative about what God can do, it automatically dies because we know God is bigger than that thought. He can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Give the Lord a hand. It's true. The enemy wants you to believe, wants to put the chatterbox in your mind that you're not family. You're not family. He wants you to believe that he still controls your life and your destiny. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He absolutely, radically hates it when you come to the realization that you're going to come to this morning, if you haven't already, that you are a child of God, you've been adopted, you are family, and being adopted, you have the full rights of any child. Full rights. Can you get that? Say it with me. I am
a member
of the body of Christ,
of the family of God,
because of the new birth
and adoption.
You know, some children have trouble being adopted. I love this adoption plan. What a plan. I'm adopted into the family of God. You realize what that means? That means heaven belongs to me.
Amen.
Heaven is part of my inheritance. Thank you. Brian got it. Anybody else get it?
Yes, sir.
Your name's written up there. You're on the title deed. We're joint heirs with Christ. That means whatever belongs to Christ belongs to me, and I'm not giving any back.
Amen.
You look at me and say, well, what's the next verse say? I know you're going to miss a big part, and you're going to say, if we'll reign with him, if we suffer with him. Okay? That's where people go. They're going to forget the good part. The suffering isn't the bad part, but it's not as good as the top part. Okay? Look at what it says. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, indeed, if we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can we get that? Or don't you want it? It's ours. It's ours. It's not something we have to beg for. It's not some, you know, how many of you ever had to beg your mom and dad to get back in the house once you went out? You came back inebriated. But let's look at it. How many of us come home from school, knocked on the door and said, "Most Holy Father, will you let me in?" Probably my dad wanted to say no, but he couldn't. I looked like him. He didn't have hair either, so. We got to get a hold of this. We got to get a hold of this so that every time something happens, we're not falling apart and thinking God failed us. We okay?
Yes, sir.
Because Pavlov had a dog thing where he'd ring a bell and the dog would come and things like this. Satan wants to have that conditioned reflex in your heart. When he pushes a certain button, he wants to see you panic.
Yes.
He wants you to panic, whether it's health or whether it's finances or whether it's children. whatever it might be, he just wants to have to ring the bell or press a button, and all of a sudden there's a full-blown panic, and everything we knew about Jesus is just gone. And we're left out there thinking, what do I do now? God is telling you, I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. You'll get through this, whatever it might be. Just trust me. You know, God is very, boy, if I'm using this, I wish my daughter was here. She could tell me. God is very farsighted, along with being nearsighted. Is nearsighted all you see of the things right here? Okay. God not only sees the things right here, but he also sees the farsighted things that are down the road. And you may see now, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see. We see now, and we base the rest of our life on now instead of what's down the road. Because unless you have some spiritual revelations, we don't know what's down the road. And so we live in a now time. But our now time has to be stretched to include the rest of our lives. God sees that. And he realized we need to realize that we are his children, joint heirs with his son. And down the road, we won't have to worry about anything that bothers us right now. One more and I'll let you go home. Back to Ephesians. Two more, I guess. I'm sorry. We have redemption through his blood in verse number 7, the forgiveness of sins. Anybody know where we got the word redemption from? It wasn't from green stamps. Some of you don't even know what green stamps are. Anybody know what green stamps are beside me? You put them in a little book and you took them to a redemption center. That's not quite what it's saying here. It's not talking about your green stamps. The word redemption came from slave trading. When someone would redeem a slave for a certain amount of money and then set them free. Follow me? Okay. The Bible says that you and I were slaves to what? Sin. We were slaves to sin. But Jesus, well, turn with me to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Verse number 18. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were not redeemed by money. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That paid the price for sin. Not only did that purchase your salvation, but through that you received forgiveness. The debt you owed was canceled. Anybody remember the song, "He paid a debt he did not owe, I owed a debt I could not pay"? I needed someone to wash my sins away, and now I sing a brand new song. I won't sing it to you. You had that Wednesday night when I was singing. That's enough. That's enough torment. But redeemed us, forgave us. Can you accept the fact that when Christ redeemed you and forgave you and cleansed you and made you spiritually whole, it's like you didn't have a past? So if you're trying to dig back into your old sin life, if you're trying to dig back into all your old failures and you bring them to God, He don't know what you're talking about.
That's right.
They're done. And so we can confidently, boldly come into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says it's not coming and begging God to forgive us for something we did 20 years ago. And so He redeemed us. He paid the price to buy us back. And He forgave us and He cleansed us. And He made us a new creation. Is that okay?
Amen. Awesome.
And so what does He say? He said, now I want to demonstrate how you live this life. And so He gave you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us and brings us to a place. And you said it, we're overcomers, that we overcome everything of the enemy. Now we got to have that transferred from in your spirit into your head. Follow me? We need to have a renewed mind where we accept all this and live all this. And when something challenges it, and God won't challenge His own word, so you know if something challenged your belief in your mind, it's not God. The belief that we're preaching right now is not God. And so you walk that out, you live it, because He gives you the power to do it. Now, just to assure that power to do it, the Bible says in verse number 8 that He gave us the spirit of wisdom and prudence, or wisdom and understanding. Okay, I'm going to sit down and relax while you stand up. Maybe. You don't have to stand. Glenn, come and hold this chair. It seems to be moving. No. How many of you now really comprehend the salvation message to the full degree? How many of us can take hold of this? Here's what you have to do. Have to do. Boy, I'm bossy today. Take yourself out of the equation, except for receiving. How many have ever been bad? How many have ever sinned? How many of you felt frustrated with yourself? Okay. How many still do? Why? You see, the devil a lot of times can go on vacation because we'll do his work for him. There's a difference between understanding I don't deserve what Jesus did and saying, well, what He did doesn't apply to me. Everything Christ did applies to you. But you have to let the Holy Spirit apply it. Because it can't come through here. It has to come through here, up to here, because in one brief moment if it's up here and something happens or somebody says something or somebody does something to you, this can be gone. And your platform is taken away. It has to be in your heart. It has to be understood in your heart and transferred to your mind. All of us sitting here have sinned at some time in your life. But God canceled that sin out. So that you could live. If I fail God, I come to him and tell him I did. I'm not hiding it. Do you think God hates you because you failed? No. I just tell God I want to change my mind in this area. I want to think differently about this. And I repent. Is that okay?